in the limelight.
Renewables are now often cheaper than fossil fuels in large parts of the world. The technologies are proven and can be built at scale today. And most importantly, their cost follows the logic of all manufacturing. The more you produce, the cheaper it gets. The same logic applies to hydrogen and to electric vehicles. But it does not apply to fossil fuels, whose cost ultimately relies on mining ever more difficult and dwindling resources. And that contains the seductive promise that a huge government push to scale up solar and wind power will make them even more affordable compared with coal, oil and gas, not just in the United States, but globally. So the argument goes that renewables provide a pathway for clean growth of energy in the future. Develop innovative new electric vehicles, wind turbines, ways of making homes energy efficient, energy storage technologies, or even new ways of configuring electricity grids, and you are likely to find ready markets around the world in the coming years. Equally importantly, renewable technologies offer something else that will be needed in the years to come, the potential to create huge numbers of new jobs. We're prepared for you an interesting article appearing on the front page of Tech Investor News website under the heading Climate Change, How a Green New Deal Really Could Go Global. Please stay with us for more. News is in short supply at the moment, so brace yourself for a rare burst of optimism about climate change. World leaders and politicians know that their countries face one of the most severe recessions in history thanks to the coronavirus restrictions. That presents a unique challenge, but also a massive opportunity. Politicians know they are going to need to spend huge amounts of money to kickstart economic activity as the threat of coronavirus finally recedes. It is a one-off, never-to-be-repeated chance to transform their economies. So the question is, what will they spend it on? Recently, the European Union put its cards on the table. On Wednesday, 27th of May, it unveiled what is billing as the biggest green stimulus package in history. When Ursula von der Leyen, the European Commission President, told European Parliament members what was being planned, she announced, "This is about all of us, and it is way bigger than any one of us," she added. "This is Europe's moment." As well as being a big step towards federalism, the recovery package puts fighting climate change at the heart of the bloc's recovery from the coronavirus pandemic. The scale of what is being proposed is mind-boggling. The headline figure is 750 billion euros, but added in spending from future budgets and the total financial firepower, the European Commission said it will be wielding is almost 2 trillion euros. There will be tens of billions of euros to make homes more energy efficient, to decarbonize electricity and phase out petrol and diesel vehicles. The idea is to turbocharge the European effort to reduce carbon emissions to net zero by 2050. Teresa Ribera, the Deputy Prime Minister of Spain, said, "If we do not do it, we will be taking much more risk," she added. "The recovery should be green or it will not be a recovery. It will just be a shortcut into the kind of problems we're facing right now." If you're thinking this is just something that sandal-wearing European liberals might get behind, think again. US President Donald Trump may be an avowed supporter of fossil fuels, but his Democratic opponent this November's presidential election is certainly not. Joe Biden is reckoned to be planning a similarly huge green stimulus package for the United States. The model is the vast investment projects of the New Deal that helped lift America out of the Great Depression in the 1930s. That was the defining policy of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. According to the New York Magazine, Joe Biden is reportedly preparing for his own FDR-sized presidency. Energy and climate analyst David Roberts of the United States website Vox explained, "He knows he needs youth enthusiasm. He knows he needs the left. He knows he needs the core Democratic base. And he knows climate is probably the best issue to get that." He said climate polls the best across all those groups. Climate even polls pretty well amongst wavering Trump voters. This is not just about rallying voters. There are sound economic reasons why politicians see green technology as a prudent investment. First off, renewables are now often cheaper than fossil fuels in large parts of the world. The technologies are proven and can be built at scale today. And most importantly, their cost follows the logic of all manufacturing. The more you produce, the cheaper it gets. The same logic applies to hydrogen and to electric vehicles, but it does not apply to fossil fuels, whose cost ultimately relies on mining ever more difficult and dwindling resources. And that contains a seductive promise that a huge government push to scale up solar and wind power will make them even more affordable compared with coal, oil and gas, not just in the United States, but globally. So the argument goes that renewables provides a pathway for clean energy growth in the future. Develop innovative new electric vehicles, wind turbines, ways of making homes more energy efficient, energy storage technologies, or even new ways of configuring electricity grids, and you are likely to find ready markets around the world in the coming years. Equally importantly, renewable technologies offer something else that will be needed in the years to come: the potential to create huge numbers of new jobs. The COVID-19 crisis has driven joblessness to near Great Depression levels around the world. Worse even than in the wake of the 2008 financial crisis, around 40 million Americans are currently unemployed. According to the International Labour Organization, ILO, worldwide 1.6 billion people are reckoned to be in immediate danger of losing their livelihoods. That means governments need to find ways to employ lots and lots of people. Renewable technologies offer precisely the kind of shovel-ready, large-scale and labour-intensive infrastructure projects politicians are looking for. There is the obvious stuff, building wind turbines, solar farms and the foundations of a hydrogen economy. But think also about installing networks of charging points for electric vehicles, the need to insulate homes or revamp urban transport systems. Just like the road and dam building of the American New Deal, projects like these could employ tens of thousands of people in high-skilled and, crucially, local jobs. But China currently looks set to take a very different route to recovery. It remains the biggest piece of the climate change puzzle. China produces almost a third of the world's emissions, as much as the United States and the European Union combined. Last week, the country's top legislative body, the annual National People's Congress, was in full session. The country already has a big expansion of coal-fired electricity generation underway. There was no suggestion that this would be reversed. After the financial crisis in 2008, China ramped up coal-fired power stations as a key part of its stimulus package. But Li Shuo, an energy expert with Greenpeace East Asia in Beijing, said there is still a lot to play for this time around. Few details of the COVID recovery plan were announced at the National People's Congress, NPC. And he said, much will depend on what American voters decide this November. Li Shuo explained, The U.S. position looms very large in China's political calculus. He believes President Trump's energy policies are one of the major barriers to China raising its climate ambitions. Li Shuo added, "I think there is a feeling in China that it is unfair for Beijing to move forward with its climate agenda at the same time as the United States is moving backwards." That said, the Chinese public certainly seems to support measures to decarbonize the economy. According to an opinion poll conducted in 14 countries by Ipsos Mori in April, 87% of the Chinese people see climate change as a serious threat, and just as serious as COVID-19. Even in the United States, where support was lowest, 59% of the American public agreed that the risk of climate change matched those of the coronavirus in the long term. Nearly two-thirds of all respondents and 57% of the American public said it was important that government action aimed at economic recovery prioritized action on climate change.